I'd like to remind each and every one of us again what day this is. I always ask,
day of the Lord.
And be glad in it. Why? Because we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God, guys. Not everybody knows this. Walk out into this world on a daily basis. You work with them. You got family members. You got friends that don't know the God that we know. They don't know Him as we know Him. Don't believe me? Turn on the news. There's no hope, is there? But thank be to our God. And what we praised Him about this morning, we have a hope because our hope is in Christ Jesus alone. Him alone do our hope stands. And I'm thankful for that. I want to read for you this morning these scriptures. I have these special glasses that do this. Pretty cool. My family got them for me because I always put my glasses in my pocket and they end up no more glasses. So these have worked out really great. I'm reading from Isaiah. I want you to open your hearts this morning to what the Lord is about to say to you. I want you to open your minds to His Word. I want you right now forget about everything else in your life. What you're going to have for dinner afterwards, or where you're going to go, all that stuff. Okay? It's real easy to start thinking about that. And hopefully I can keep you in tune with God's Spirit this morning. The message I have this morning is not my message. He won't let me do my message. And I'm thankful. Do you want to hear from God this morning? Let's listen to His Word. I'm reading from the Living. It's a little more easier to understand than some other versions. Say there, is any thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine and milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food stuff that don't give you strength? Why pay for groceries that don't do you any good? Listen, and I will tell you where to get good food that fattens up your soul. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, for the life of your soul is at stake. I am ready to make an everlasting covenant with you, to give you all the unfailing mercies and love that I had for King David. He proved my power by conquering foreign nations. You also will command the nations, and they will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, have glorified you. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call upon Him now while He is near. Let men cast off their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy upon them, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and say upon the ground to the water of the earth and cause the grain to grow and to produce seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry, so also is my word. I send it out and it will always produce fruit. It shall accomplish all I want it to and prosper wherever I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills, the trees of the field, all the world around you will rejoice. Where once there were thorns, fir trees will grow. Where briars grew, the myrtle tree will sprout up. This miracle will make the Lord's name very great and be an everlasting sign of God's power and love. Be just and fair to all, the Lord God says. Do what's right and good, for I am coming soon to rescue you. Blessed is the man who refuses to work during my Sabbath days of rest, but honors them. And blessed is the man who checks himself from doing wrong. For my blessings are for the Gentiles too. When they accept the Lord, don't let them think I will make them second-class citizens. That's Isaiah 55 and Isaiah 56, 1 through 3. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. I don't know what portion of that that's speaking to your heart right now, but there's a lot in there. Can we say, thank you, Lord, for your word? Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what does the Bible says? My word will never pass away. And the part that I like in here most of all for me is that God's word will not return void. It's King James, I'm sorry. But it will not be unfruitful. He puts it out there, it's going to be fruitful. And he's got something special to say to you this morning. I want you to hear what God has to say. I have these tables up here for two reasons. One is for this, because I need more room. The other one, there's a special situation that God's going to use these tables for. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. In Matthew 6, verse 19, God reminds us of this. I'm reading from the NIV right now. By the way, I like to encourage you to have the Word of God in your hand. Have the Word of God in your hand so that you can put it in your heart. I know that God's Word is in a lot of different ways right now, and the telephone has become the computer that we carry with us all the time. And at any moment, we can punch in anything and boom, we got it. And you don't even have to know the whole scripture, do you? You just put in a couple words and that's awesome. I'm still of the old school. I have books, and when I do studies and prepare for sermons, our whole kitchen table is full of books, and I go through. But I'll use my wife's phone to help out, okay? My phone won't do that. I got the old flip phone. It won't do it. So I encourage you to start bringing God's word with you. Especially in his house. Bring his word with you. If it's the big book or little book, whatever, there's something about it. It's powerful and it's holy. It really disturbs me. We used to call this the Holy Bible. Now we got abbreviations for it of all the versions and stuff. You hardly ever people say, this is the Holy Bible. And I found out when I have access on the phone, it's more of information instead of God's word. This is God's word, guys. This is the most valuable thing that you will ever possess, is this word right here. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and varmints destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and varmints do not destroy For where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In our culture today and society, we collect a lot of treasures. Some people take old things for their treasures. Some people take new things for their treasures. But what God is saying to us, where your heart is, there's where your treasure is going to be. I need to ask you, do you realize that whatever it is that you treasure is your most valuable possession? That's the thing you take care of, you protect. Whatever that treasure is, it means more to you than anything else. So I ask, what's your treasure? This morning, what is your treasure? Why don't you think about that? I ask to you, what is your heart? Where's your heart at? What is your most valuable possession? And I could give you a list of mine. You need to know what yours is. But one thing that I've learned about my heart, and I don't know about you, but when I look in my heart, there's times I see things I don't like. It's not who I want to be. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 to 10 says, the heart is the most deceitful thing there is and desperately wicked. No one can really know how bad it is. Only the Lord knows. He searches all hearts and examines deepest motives so he can give to each person the right reward according to his deeds and how he has lived. Mark 7:20, chapter 7, verse 20, 23. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. It is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogant, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. You may say, well, I don't know if I got all that in me. Yeah, you do. We all do. From the day that Adam and Eve disobeyed in the garden, our hearts were full of sin, and that's what all this is. I don't know about you, I believe it's true, but we all go through our daily days fighting things in our minds and in our hearts, things we don't need to be thinking about, places we don't need to be going. We fight with that. You can look this one up. Psalm 78 tells us of how unfaithful our heart is. We don't want to be unfaithful, but we are. If I did a survey right now with all of us, 100% of us, somewhere, somehow, this week was unfaithful to God. Somewhere, somehow, you thought something, you did something. Something else became more important in your life than God was. Hebrews 3, 12, 15 speaks of how we harden our hearts. Some say, well, my heart's not hardened. When we disobey God's word, we begin to harden our hearts. When we begin to do what we want to do, our hearts begin to get hardened. It affects us all. No one is exempt from this. God does not judge us by our actions. He looks in our hearts and sees the true thoughts and intentions. I got a really good feeling, and I don't want you to look at my heart, because you would see the trueness of who I am. And I got a good feeling you don't want me to look in your heart, because then we are exposed to who we really are. Our heart and our treasures under our care is a mess. Our hearts and our treasures under our care is a mess. I cannot tame my heart. I cannot control my heart. How can I keep God's commandments and obey Him with all my heart, with a heart like this? How can I do it? We are bombarded on a daily basis, no matter where you go, what you listen to, of things that come against God and how God wants us to be. You turn your TV on, you turn your radio on, you drive down the road, there's billboards, there's advertisements. Everywhere you go, our country is fighting over laws to try to put things in place that are right. But guess what? It has to come from our hearts. We can go to the abortion clinics and we can picket them and we can do all that stuff. But until that person's heart changes, they think that is the answer. And I have something for someone, I think maybe two people this morning. You need to know this. God has forgiven you for having an abortion. God has forgiven you. You need to receive that this morning, that God has forgiven you. And that your little baby is with Jesus right now, and he's okay. Psalms 139:23 says, Lord, search my heart. See if there's any wickedness in me. Search my heart, God. Psalms 51:10 says, give me a clean heart, Lord. Do you want a clean heart this morning? Do you want a clean heart? That's been the cry of man since the sin that entered man's heart. God, where are you? Help me. I cry out to you. We've all made mistakes, haven't we? We've made a mess of our lives. If I could just go back, I think sometimes, and say, man, if I could just do this different, what a difference I could be for the glory of God. And every time I think that, I think, God, I'll probably make a bigger mess of it than what I did then. So God has a better plan. Remember, his ways are higher than our ways. Thank God. And this is his plan. And you have to look at it this way. What's God's heart and treasure? What's God's heart and treasure? What is the most valuable thing to God? You are. You're sitting in a seat right now. It's you. You are the most prized possession that God has. You are his treasure. You are the most important person to God. Zechariah 2:8 says, you are the apple of his eye. You are the reason that he made all creation. He didn't just make creation for himself. It was for us. And he put us in charge of it. You are the reason that before the world even was created, God had a plan. And that plan was to save your soul. Before the creation was even in existence, God had the plan to come and die for you and to fill you with his Spirit, to walk with you and to be with you. From Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation, this is God's heart. From Genesis to Revelation, he showed you and demonstrated his love to you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what, he showed his love to you. God loves you. 1 Corinthians 8:6. God has chosen you for his very own. Did you know you were chosen? You didn't choose God. He chose you. You was lost. He found you. God has chosen you. Psalms 4:3, he has redeemed you for himself. He paid the price on Calvary. He bought you back. How awesome is that? Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, he adopts you. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own. Through what Christ would do for us, he decided then to make us holy in his eyes. Without a single fault, we stand before him covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures this morning. You know why? Because my words mean nothing. His words mean everything. And I'm sharing this with you because it's a message from God. God loves you so much that in his plan, according to Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new and right desires. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take out your stony hearts of sin and give you new hearts of love. And I will put my spirit within you so that you will obey my laws and do whatever I command. I can't obey God's law on my own. I fail every time, Ed. Every time. But when I let God's spirit come in me, I have the ability now, because God loved me so much, he put his spirit in me that I can obey his laws now. He gives me a new desire to obey his laws. Before, I didn't even have a desire. Now I do. This is so cool. God wants to trade your heart for his. He wants to take your heart out, the one that's a mess, and he wants to replace it with his. Did I say that? Yes. He wants to take your heart out and put his in so that you can be all that God wants you to be. So that you can love. So that you can care. So that you can be the people of God. God is a mighty God. His ways are higher than ours, guys. And I'm reminding you of that. Because we as men, as human beings, and my wife can testify to this, so many times I think my way is the right way. And it's better than any other way. I'm going to ask you to give. Did I get knocked off? Can you hear me? Oh, I couldn't hear myself. Had me nervous there. Give God your whole heart today and let His heart take full reign in your life. I'm going to close with this. I know I've read a lot of scriptures and I will continue to read this one because I'm going to read from the Living Bible. It's in Colossians chapter 3. Since you become alive again, so to speak, when Christ rose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven, where He sits beside God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back again, you will shine with Him and share in all His glory. Away then with sinful earthly things. Deaden the evil desires lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sins, impurities, lust, and shameful desires. Don't worship the good things of life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger is upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world, but now it is time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger, hatred, cursing, and dirty language. Don't tell lies to each other. It was your old life with all its wickedness that did that sort of thing. Now it is dead and gone. You are living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more of what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within you. In this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters. He is equally available to all. Since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of His deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making good impressions on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Most of all, let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of heart, which comes from Christ, be always present in your hearts and lives. For this is your responsibility and privilege as members of His body. And always be thankful. Remember what Christ taught, and let His words enrich your life and make you wise. Teach them to each other and sing them out in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And come with Him into the presence of God, the Father, to give Him your thanks. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. God loves opens the door for you to come to Him. To sit at His table. I know what happened, Jake. My tape came off. Let me read that again. God's love opens the door for you to come to Him and to sit at His table. To love Him with all your heart and to love others as yourself. The Bible reminds us that as freely that God's given to you, freely give. Are you thirsty? Remember what I read before? If you're thirsty, if you're hungry, you can get it from Him at no cost. God has a table spread in the presence of your enemies. That's in Psalms 23. Do you know what that really means? God has a table spread for you in the presence of your enemies. Not only is He going to take care of you, but He's going to put the shame to the enemy. And we know who our enemy is, don't we? It's not each other. It's that lying, deceitful one that comes as an angel of light to deceive us and to trick us and to get us caught up in all other things except what God wants. I have these tables out here. And the reason, if you're hungry and you're thirsty, and you want a new heart, you want to find forgiveness from your Savior, you want to find mercy, you want to find whatever it is missing in your life, these tables are here for you. I know we've not done this before, and we'll probably never do it again, and that's okay. I've got a video and a song that I'm going to have Tiffany play for us. And as this thing is being played, if you feel the Holy Spirit moving on your heart, whatever the reason, be obedient and come to this table. I've got them all around. And sit at a table. Because Jesus is there to be with you and to help you. Let's pray. Lord, your table is open to us at all times. Any place, anywhere, we can come to you. And we're so glad. Father, as these that come forward this morning, God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would fill them with your goodness and with your love. Those out here, Lord, that maybe wanted to come, but for whatever reason chose not to, I pray, God, let them know that your table's always open. That any place and any time and anywhere they can call upon the name of the Lord and they will be saved. They can call upon the name of the Lord and you will cleanse them of all their unrighteousness. That any time they can cry out, Father, forgive me, I have sinned. And you will forgive them. Lord, you look into our hearts. You know our motives. You know our intentions. Blessed is though those that have given their hearts to you and trusted you because they are the apple of your eye. And you will never leave them nor forsake them. Though they go through the fire, and though they go through the flood, the water will not overcome them, and they will not be burned. And you will bring them out as lights shining for your glory. And I give you the praise for that. In Jesus' name. If you're still at the table, don't leave. Don't leave until you know and you're ready to leave. The worship team is going to do a song. And those that need to leave can leave. But I urge you, if you felt your heart's desire to come to a table, there are still open seats. Do not leave today. Seek the Lord while he can be found. And this is no better place than to find him. Don't leave until you know you and Jesus are hand in hand, walking together.